Namandavutsu, 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 namandavutsu. Okay, please join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegaishimasu. To realize Shinjin oneself and to guide others to Shinjin is among difficult things, yet even more difficult. To awaken beings everywhere to great compassion is truly to respond in gratitude to the Buddha's benevolence. Mizukara shinji, soshite hito ni oshiete shinji saseru koto wa muzukashii naka demo toku ni muzukashii. Hotoke no oinaru jihi niyotte hiroku hitobito o oshie michibiku koto wa makoto ni hotoke no on ni mukuiru koto ni naru to. Namman dabutsu, namman dabutsu, namman dabutsu, namman dabutsu. Good morning, everyone. 皆さん、おはようございます。I'm going to flip through the screens just a little bit. I see we've got a bunch of people with their cameras on, and it's just really nice to see so many Dharma friends joining us here today. We have some friends from the Buddhist Church of San Francisco who are joining us as well. So starting this month, I've been given the honor of assisting the Buddhist Church of San Francisco as their supervising minister in the interim while they are looking for a new resident minister following the retirement of our good friend, Reverend Ronald Kobata, at the end of last month. And so from time to time, we'll be welcoming our friends from BCSF to join us for our activities. So you may, you may see some of your old friends from just up the peninsula here on Zoom. You know, feel free to give them a wave and make them feel nice and welcome with us. So today we're embarking on our new kind of cycle of Dharma School talks. And this year for Dharma School, our theme will be the first teaching, the first sermon delivered by Shakyamuni Buddha. We often call that the first turning of the wheel of Dharma. So if you look here on the podium where I'm standing, we have this this round wheel. We call that the wheel of Dharma. Some people think it has to do with ships and like it's like a ship's wheel, but it's actually not only is it a sense of direction, but it directs our lives, the wheel of Dharma, this teaching. And so we'll be focusing on this first teaching the Buddha gave throughout this year. There's a lot of depth to it, and we'll be talking a little bit about it in general terms today, but we'll go through it very, kind of methodically and really getting to soak in these profound teachings of the Buddha. But today I want to talk about a little bit about how Shakyamuni Buddha almost didn't teach the Dharma at all. Did you know that? He almost didn't become a fully realized Buddha, right? So he became enlightened sitting underneath the Bodhi tree. And in that moment, he was free of greed, anger, and ignorance. He was free of all attachments. He was happy. He was blissed out. He was just enjoying that feeling of being enlightened, being totally free, totally free. But he actually wasn't a fully realized Buddha. He wasn't a Buddha at that moment because in order to become a Buddha, he needed to teach. He needed to awaken the compassion in his heart to share that happiness that he had in his own heart with others. And so he was just sitting there. He was enjoying it. And when the moment he became enlightened, it said that the gods up in the heavens, the Hindu devas, the devas, there's, you know, we don't have like a god in Buddhism, but we have these devas, these powerful beings. And it said that at that moment, they all understood and rejoiced that an enlightened being had become present in the world. And they were looking forward to him teaching this Dharma. But they noticed that he was just sitting there enjoying his enlightenment. And so Brahma, the leader of the devas, began to get a little bit worried, and he went down to where Siddhartha was sitting beneath the Bodhi tree, and he asked him, are you going to start teaching the Dharma soon? And that moment, Siddhartha, he said, you know, I reflect upon this world and the people who are living in this world, and it seems like they're all really caught up in things that don't really matter that much. It's like they spend all their times chasing after the things that aren't important. It's like their minds are like a monkey racing back and forth, chasing after pleasures, running from pain. I wonder if it's even worth the trouble. It seems like it would be very difficult, very troublesome. And I'm feeling quite good and happy right now. It's like people have like mud caked over their eyes, and I'm not going to be able to show them the truth that I have awakened to. In that moment, Brahma became very concerned, and he said, there are people in this world. There are people for whom it's like they just have a little bit of dust on their eyes, and your teachings can sweep that away and show them the truth. The people who have the karmic conditions, the people who have the opportunity, the circumstances of their life lead them to hear your teaching, those people will attain awakening through your Dharma teachings. So please, I beseech you, go out and share this teaching so that the joy that you experience yourself can be shared with others. Because this sharing of the joy you've received, this is what makes it truly worthwhile and truly enjoyable. It may not be easy, but this is the true path to fulfillment. And so Siddhartha, in that moment, he realized, this is true. I must go out and share this teaching. But where to begin? There are so many people in this world. Where do I start to share this Dharma? So he thought, let me go to those with whom I have a close connection, those who I feel will be ready to hear this teaching. Let me start there. And so he first went in search of his former teacher, someone who had guided him on the path and who he knew was headed in the same direction in life, a teacher named Alara Kalama. And he said, let me go find Alara Kalama. And so as he traveled, and he went to the place where Alara Kalama had been teaching, he went there and he found that Alara Kalama was not present. He was hard to find. Where was he? And all of his students looked a little bit sad. And he said, where is our teacher? Where is Alara Kalama? And they said, sadly, he's passed away 1 week ago. If you had come 1 week earlier, you would have had the chance to meet him. Oh, so disappointed. Then Siddhartha went and thought, well, I had another good teacher called Udaka Ramaputta. Udaka Ramaputta, he was almost at the level of Alara Kalama. So I'll go to where Udaka Kalama was, or Udaka Ramaputta. And so as he's traveling and he's getting just to the outskirts of the forest dwelling where Udaka Ramaputta had lived, and as he arrived, he noticed that coming out of that forest was a monk who was holding a single flower. The monk had a sad expression on his face, and there were tears streaming down his cheeks. And Siddhartha, the Buddha, asked him, what happened? Why are you so sad? And why are you holding that beautiful flower? This monk said, I just come from the funeral that was held for Udaka Ramaputta. He just passed away today. So Siddhartha, now who can I teach? Who is left that I have a close relationship with? And then at that moment, he remembered, said, I had five companions. There were five fellow monks, five mendicants who studied with me and who did difficult practices We used to live in the deer park. We would only eat one grain of rice a day. We would sleep out in the open. We did difficult, difficult practices, all in search of this enlightenment that I'm seeking, that I have realized. And so he went and he traveled then to the deer park, and he found his companions, and they saw him coming. When they saw him coming, you would think they would say, "Oh, look, there's our good friend Siddhartha." Do you know what they said? They said, "Here comes Sid. Here comes Sid, the wimp, because we saw him. We were all eating only one grain of rice a day, but that wimp, we saw him, he was drinking milk. He was drinking milk from a girl," right? Because Sujata, remember, she had been bringing offerings to Siddhartha of milk in the forest to nourish him and sustain him once he gave up those difficult practices. But these other monks, they saw him and they said, "He's given up. He's wimped out. He's not a real dedicated meditator like us. He's become a wimpy meditator. There's no way that with that wimpy practice he was doing, that he could learn anything that he might be able to teach us." And so they made an agreement. They said, "Well, you know, we've been friends for a long time, so we'll let him come and sit with us, but we're not going to talk to him. We're going to ignore him." It's like a junior high school lunch table or something like that, right? And so they said, "Oh, we're just going to ignore him." And so they're sort of like, you know, looking the other way, just carrying on their conversation. But as he approaches, they see him and they notice there's something different. His way of walking, his way of standing, the look on his face, something profound. And so they can't help but welcome him and say, "Oh, hey, hey, Sid, hey, old buddy, how's it going? Come on, have a seat." And at this moment, the Buddha, Siddhartha, he says something very interesting. He says, "Don't call me old buddy. Don't call me friend. Because I have realized, I've come to you as a teacher to share something truly precious and profound with you. I have awakened to the deathless, awakened to the truth of the Dharma." You know what they said to that? "What? No way. There's no way you could have awakened to the truth. There's no way you could have realized something profound. We saw you drinking milk. We saw you hanging out with that girl, Sujata. You haven't been doing the difficult practices we've been doing, so there's no way you could have realized what we are seeking." He says, "But I have. I have realized this truth. I've come here to share it with you." He said, "Really? Nah. How can you prove it? How can you prove it?" He said, "I can prove it by sharing these teachings with you." "Nah, I don't think you can. I don't think you did it." So they went back and forth like this three times. And finally, he said, "Listen, have I ever spoken to you in this manner before?" He said, No. "Have I ever come to you with this bearing of peace that I bring today?" "Well, no, you haven't." So he said, "Listen to what I have to teach." And in that way, he was able to finally bring them around to hear his teachings, right? And that day, he taught four simple and profound truths to them. He taught them first, everyone suffers. Everyone in this world experiences suffering. And suffering, disappointment, not getting what we want, this is a part of our lives, throughout our lives. Right? Then he taught a second truth. He taught the reason that we suffer, the reason that we have all of this stress and anger and irritation and frustration in our lives is because we cling on to our idea of me and mine. We cling to our greed, to our anger, to our ignorance. He taught a third truth. He said that these blind passions, this greed, anger, ignorance, this clinging can be extinguished when we awaken the mind. Then finally, he taught them a fourth truth. And that fourth truth that he taught them is that the Dharma, the true teaching, is the path to awakening. And that day in the deer park, he described eight aspects, an eightfold path that is expressed in the lives of those who follow the Dharma. And so if you look at this wheel, remember we called this the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, this teaching? This wheel, I don't know if you can see it on your screen, but does anybody know how many spokes it has? How many lines there are going across? Anybody hold up the number of fingers that it is? Does anybody know? Oh, I see a lot of, I see some of this, right? Some of this, some people do this, right? Eight. There are eight spokes because there were eight aspects. We call this the eightfold path, right? And so the eightfold path is right view, right thought, right speech, right livelihood, right action, right mindfulness, right effort, and right concentration, right? View, thought, speech, action, livelihood, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. Right? And in the coming months, we'll be talking about these one by one and what they mean. But this was the profound teaching that the Buddha shared that day. This teaching on the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path that he delivered that day in the Deer Park describes the change of heart from one who is mired in suffering to one who is settled on the path to liberation. Describes the way in which we go from all of the stress and difficulty and anger to a life of peace and bliss, to a life of caring for others, right? So hear these teachings. Hear these teachings. Think about your own life and trust that these teachings are describing your life. They're describing the way in which you will become free from suffering. Trust that these teachings are showing you your path to liberation. Just as those five monks, those five mendicants came to trust in this teaching and realized the fruit of awakening. Now, if it were me, if I were Siddhartha, if I were the Buddha, which I'm not, but if I went and I had something really special to share, really special to share with five people who I considered my closest friends, if I went to share something with them and I showed up and they were at the lunch table, I'm going to ignore you, not going to talk to you, I'm going to pretend you're not there, I would get really annoyed. I would say, forget you guys. Whatever, I'm going to go find someone else, right? But that wasn't part of the Buddha. The Buddha did not give up on them, right? I find myself getting annoyed just reading the story. Like, how could they be so rude to the Buddha? This is the Buddha here. How could you be so rude to the Buddha? Right? But the Buddha didn't get annoyed. He was patient. He was persistent, right? And this episode shows his great compassion, shows the deep faith that he had that the truth of the Dharma he would teach could bring about a change of heart, even for those in whom doubt reigns supreme. The Buddha's steadfast faith in the Dharma enables him to continue to work for the liberation of all beings without giving up, even when those beings are very, very stubborn. So just as the Buddha didn't give up on those five monks when they ignored him and treated him with disrespect at first, the Buddha doesn't give up on fools like me who hear the Buddha's teachings every Sunday throughout the week. I hear the Dharma, and yet I don't always follow it, right? My greed, my anger, my ignorance, all these things keep stirring up in my heart and derailing me off the path, right? But the Buddha does not give up on me, because if I have the karmic conditions to meet this teaching, to hear the Dharma, then surely the potential for my liberation is there, is present. So the Buddha knew, though, he knew that somebody with a monkey mind like me needs a very special teaching to break the cycle. Because when I read the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, I think, yes, this is true. And then when I think about, let me incorporate this into my life, let me do this, follow this teaching, I found, wow, I am having a hard time here. I'm struggling to follow this teaching. And so the Buddha knew that for people like me, there needed to be a special teaching. And so he taught a special teaching called the Nembutsu, the recitation of these words, Namu Amida Butsu, in which we receive the constant support and guidance of Amida Buddha, this Buddha who's enshrined here in our statue, the Buddha of immeasurable wisdom and compassion. So anytime, any place, as the greed, the anger, the ignorance flare up in my mind, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, I hear the Nembutsu. When I hear the Nembutsu, I realize that I'm guided and supported by a Buddha, a patient Buddha, a Buddha who is so patient that he vowed to remain in a world called the Pure Land that would exist until all beings are liberated. That's why he's called the Buddha of immeasurable life. He has that much patience. He's going to wait for all of us, even me. Amida Buddha is an expression of that patience that continues from the time of Shakyamuni 2,500 years ago to today and throughout my life, as long as it takes for me to realize awakening. When I think about that, so much patience for me, my heart is filled with gratitude. And I say, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, in joy and appreciation. And so when we awaken to this truth that our path is settled, that even though our greed and our anger and our ignorance are going to continue to pop up, that through these words, Namo Amida Butsu, the Buddha is guiding us moment to moment, then we feel a sense of peace of mind, right? And like Siddhartha, we don't just sit and enjoy that peace of mind for ourselves, but we say Namman Dabutsu. And saying Namman Dabutsu, that joy flows out into the world and touches those around us. So as you live your life, as the greed, the anger, and ignorance come up in your hearts, right, don't just give up and allow yourself to be carried away. Recognize the Buddha is supporting you. Turn your ears to this Dharma of the Nembutsu. Don't give up on the possibility of your own liberation. Trust in the Buddha who will carry you to awakening. Trust in Amida Buddha and just say, Namu Amida Butsu. For as Shinran Shonin assures us, when beings turn about at heart and often say the Nembutsu, it is as if bits of rubble were turned to gold. Tada shin o ete Nembutsu sureba kawara ya koishi o ogon ni kaeru yō ni shite o sukui kudasaru no de aru no wa Amida sama no o Nembutsu no chikara desu ne. And so as we think about our lives and we continue to journey and deepen our appreciation for these Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, there's times when we feel that it seems more than I can handle. Let us take our deep sense of trust and assurance that Amida Buddha is guiding us and supporting us to the realization of that awakening, to the fulfillment of those Eightfold Path virtues in our lives through the working of the Nembutsu. We don't have to accomplish it on our own because we're guided by the wisdom and compassion of Amida Buddha, moment to moment. And as we say the Nembutsu and express that joy, we are truly, truly expressing our gratitude to the benevolence of the Buddha. So with that reflection, I would like to conclude my Dharma talk, once again, returning to these words shared with us by Shinran Shonin. Please join me in Gassho. To realize Shinjin oneself and to guide others to Shinjin is among difficult things, yet even more difficult. To awaken beings everywhere to great compassion is truly to respond in gratitude to the Buddha's benevolence. Mizukara shinji, soshite hito ni oshiete, shinji saseru koto wa muzukashii naka demo toku ni muzukashii. Hotoke no oi naru jihi niyotte hiroku hitobito o oshie michibiku koto wa makoto ni hotoke no on ni mukuiru koto ni naru to. Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu.